All right, hey everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is Uniquely Designed Talk, the Total Empowered Woman Show. And I'm so excited that I have my special friend and guest, Lorraine Cole Stokes, with us tonight. And listen, we're going to be talking about something that I think everyone needs to hear. And this is about something that we all have been experiencing, this pandemic, right? And so we all know that we are on the anniversary, we're celebrating the anniversary of the pandemic. And my friend Lorraine came up with something that we said, well, you know what, we have to talk about this. We have to put this out and share with so many people who many of us have just feel like we're over it. And it's just been a long journey for all of us to experience and go through. And it's been impacting us in a lot of different ways. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But what we're talking about tonight is called Unmasking the Pandemic. And before I bring my friend on, the most fabulous Lorraine Stokes, I want to tell you a little bit about her. Lorraine is, of course, a licensed social worker, and she's a communication professional. She's also an author, and she has written a great book that you guys need to purchase. It's called Work It Girl, The Black Woman's Guide to Professional Success. And she's also written over 100 articles that's been published in so many different publications, as well as having her poetry published by a national greeting card company. So she knows what she's talking about, right? And so one of the things that I love about Lorraine is that she talks about how her biggest professional pursuit is really about empowering women. And so that's why she's here tonight. She wants to empower women everywhere, although the pandemic has been affecting all of us. We really want to speak to women tonight. And Lorraine created something called Unmasking the Pandemic. And Lorraine, I just want to welcome you here today, tonight. And I just want to ask you, you know, how did you come up with Unmasking the Pandemic? What is this all about?
So every year, as a gift to a select group of family and friends, I do a New Year, New You workshop. And I always try to come up with things that are relevant to the year. So we reflect on the year that is passed, and mm-hmm. then we try to plan for moving forward. So this year I was like, how can I do this workshop? And I did it virtually, but how can I feed into this pandemic? I couldn't have the workshop and not address the pandemic, because were it not for the pandemic, it wouldn't have been a virtual workshop. It would have been a face-to-face, you know, like we typically have it. And I was just at my desk and I came up with this document, and it's called Unmasking My Pandemic. And I thought it was so needed, because I came up with it because of, you know, I'm constantly talking to people. I'm a talker. So I'm talking to friends. I'm talking to colleagues. I'm talking to family. I'm talking to my immediate family, my extended family, my friends. So what I came away with is that the reason why so many people now, I mean, it is, there are so many people that are pursuing mental health services and therapeutic services, is because we're not talking about the pandemic so much in the way that it would serve us therapeutically. Yes. So I wanted to create something that somebody could take themselves through a process to figure out where they are in it. And I think we do have to assess where we are in our life stages and our situations to really work on ourselves.
Yeah.
So that is how Unmasking My Pandemic came about. And I did, you know, note that people really enjoyed it. I got great feedback on it, because I just don't know that everybody's being quite as honest. You know, everybody's, I mean, as a mom, I'm not going to be 100% honest with my children, because I don't want to alarm them when I'm alarmed, as we have over 500,000 people who have passed during the pandemic. So I do think that people need to, especially like as parents or like as friends, I think women, we're the protectors. We're the ones who make it all better. So when we think about ministering to women, I want women to go through this process of identifying where they are and where they might be lacking and what they might need. Because think about it, Nayshawn, has anybody come to you in the course of this pandemic and said, what do you need? You know, what do you need to be good? What's going to make you better in the pandemic? What, That doesn't happen a lot for, especially not Black women. I will say that because we are always considered to be the strength, the backbone, you know, all of these things. So again, the whole purpose is us being able to just feed into ourselves and just try to identify where we are, because it's kind of like a healing process, and it's like a, and you're informing yourself about your status and where you are and what you might need to be better.
Yeah.
So you may come out of this assessment and say, oh, I'm great, and that's wonderful. Uh-huh. But you may also be somebody who goes through this assessment and says, hey, I'm in a bad place.
Yeah. To be able to say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling right along in here, right? With managing this pandemic, right? Because it's taken a toll on all of us on top of everything else that we experienced in 2020, right? And so I love that you said that it's really about it being kind of like therapy, where we really need to get it out, you know, instead of hiding behind it and trying to pretend like everything is okay, because everything is not okay, right? It's just not okay. And I think with you bringing this forward like you're doing, it's telling people it's okay not to be okay, right? And let's speak about this in a very open, honest, transparent, and vulnerable way, right? So that, like you said, we can bring that healing, right? Because I don't know about you, but it's been a lot, and it's been heavy. And you know, it's funny that you were mentioning a lot of things that you were talking about, because we are in this place where we feel like we have to be so strong, we got to hold it all together, right? And that we don't give ourselves a moment to just feel what we feel. And I think that if we ever gave ourselves that permission to say, you know what, this is a lot to deal with, going, you know, we're already into a year after the beginning of this whole thing. And many people are feeling lost, they're feeling stuck, they're feeling frustrated, they're overwhelmed, they're dealing with so many different issues and not knowing quite how to manage it. And when you know, we used to talk about work-life balance, well, now yes, it's work-life integration, right? Yes. And so, you know, everywhere you turn, you look over this way, there's a refrigerator, look over here, there's your office. It's like there's, yes, no separation. And then you got kids at home and all of that. And for a lot of people who don't know, you know, I'm also a caregiver, you know, to my mom, that's who right, who has Alzheimer's, right? So it's been a challenge. It really has been a challenge when you're locked in and you feel like there's nowhere to turn, right?
That's
right. So talk to us a little bit about, you talked about unmasking the pandemic, and you actually did a workshop, as you said, but you have some questions and things that you help people to utilize to assess just where they are. And so that we can have tools to know how to navigate all this uncertainty.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So question number one was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you have managed the pandemic so far? And mm-hmm. I'll tell you why this question is important, mm-hmm. because that's really key to the assessment piece. When I wrote this up, and of course I was a part of this, and I took the same, you know, this survey that I gave everybody else. I went through the process with everybody else. And for me, I was surprised because I think my honest number was lower than I would want it to be. And there's a level of guilt for me saying that my number was, put it like this. If I say it's a 10, and being the person that I am, I'm a social worker, I'm a helper, it can't be a 10 for me with the deaths toll where it is. It can't be a 10 for me knowing that I knew an educator that passed away. And it wasn't a 10 for me anyway. But I say all that to say, it for me, what's going on around me impacts my number so mm-hmm. much, because I'm a caring, compassionate individual.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, then I have to also put in my piece of gratitude. Mm-hmm. So I really think that I'm still here. This is a real thing, that I didn't spend the day in a food line. You know, that nobody in my immediate circle contracted the virus, you know, so you're balancing all of that. You know, some of us even feel survivor's remorse. Like, we're questioning, how did I make it? I took, you know, I, as careful as I was, you know, it still could have happened to me.
Yeah.
So I think my number and how I've managed it is probably a 7. Mm. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably a 7. But what takes it, you know, and that, you know, and it'll fluctuate for people.
Yeah.
Because some days, and I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, it was beautiful here. The weather was awesome. And I wanted to get out. And when I get out, I double mask and I just do all of those things, but it's work. Mm-hmm. And so you long for the days when getting out wasn't work. So the thing that you want to do to make yourself feel better is also the thing that reminds you that you're living in a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and that's real talk right there, because it's so, you know, I was thinking about a lot of the things that you were saying, and of course I can, you know, if I was to give my score, my scale of how I would number myself, I would say about a 7 as well. You know, mm-hmm. Sometime I would go down to a 6, but I would say I'm kind of been more of a steady 7. And you said something I thought was really interesting, because, you know, although there's been a lot that's been happening in all of our lives, you know, there have been moments where some good things have come to, right?
Yes. Yes.
But in the midst of those good things, sometimes you don't even want to share it, you know,
right.
Because it's like, well, you know, because you feeling like, okay, I recognize all of this is happening, but I do want to kind of share and even give hope to somebody, because sometimes we've been surrounded by such negativity that it's hard to find that joy in the midst of all of what's going on. And so, but every time that we go out, like what you said, it is a reminder that we're in a pandemic. And I think oftentimes when we are experiencing beautiful weather, like what we just had here as well, It's that longing for what used to be, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's like, how do we begin to experience the joys of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that it's not business as usual, and this is a new normal for everybody, but how do we move forward even when you have learned where you are on that scale? How do you continue to move forward? So one of the things that you asked in this workshop that you gave was, what has been the most challenging part of living in a pandemic? And I think that a lot of us, we've had challenges, but when you think about what has been the most challenging, what have you heard a lot of people say about that? And then also, before you answer that, where have a lot of people landed on that scale? Like, for the first question, where have most people said they are?
I tell you what I offered the participants. I offered them this. I offered them that this is your story. You can share or you cannot share. So like in most situations, you will find less sharing the lower the number.
Mm.
You know, so my purpose wasn't really to find out what their number was, but to make them know what their number was. And and then move on from there to saying, maybe after this was over, because I know my number is this, then maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do that. But I think I did notice that people were more inclined to share if they thought they were an 8, or if they thought they were, you know, a higher number. And I think that's just a human nature, you know, kind of thing. And I wanted to make sure that in the process that we were doing it, that whatever they wanted to share, they shared, and whatever they didn't, they didn't. So I just, so of course, like I said, it was more, definitely more people who had higher numbers that shared.
And did they share what made them score as high than perhaps many of the other ones who scored lower?
Well, I think it all depended on what their circumstances were, because I had some people who never missed a beat in the pandemic as far as their jobs. Like they never were at home or, you know, whatever. And then you had people who went home and were remote, you know, and that kind of thing. So it was those kind of things that impacted it. You know, you have people whose college-age children came home. You know, you everybody kind of had different situations. I had retirees who, you know, when they get out socially, that's a good thing for them because their interactions isn't necessarily, they're no longer in the workplace. Yeah. So think about how that impacted them. You know, they're retired, so they get to make their social calendar and what they're going to do. Now you're in a pandemic and you're not at work, so your social exchange is with the people that are within your household. You know, yeah. And so that's, and then you got to really think about it. If you are on Zoom all day, you still have the outlet. You know, you still have that. So I think everybody's and I'm also thinking, you asked me about, you know, the responses on the challenges, and I think this is so important. I love the fact that most people said just missing loved ones and family, because as we're living in a time right now where I'm very concerned about the what's going on in the United States right now, that that someone can not wear a mask knowing that they may carry the virus in their nose and they may just be spreading the virus, but you're in a political state or you're in this state or I want my freedom state, never considering the fact that you could carry and transmit a virus that could kill someone.
Absolutely.
So when I'm doing stuff like this and people are saying the challenging part of them, these are compassionate and caring people who, you know, they're challenged by not having that connection. And I think the more people get disconnected, the more we have more of these, you know, bad things happen in our country. When we can remove ourselves from humanity and common decency and things of that sort and think that it's more important to be able to say, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, than I am a patriot who's willing to do whatever it takes to hold my country and my family and my, you know, and then I come out of this. So
it's hard, you know, when you know, it really is about public health and public safety. And it's about us learning to sacrifice our own convenience. Nobody wants to wear a mask every day. I get that. It's annoying, you know, to you know, every, you know, you see your friend, you got to have a mask on, you go, you know, but it's not about us, right? It's about each other. It's about somebody else trying to keep somebody else healthy, safe from dying, right? Yes. And so, yes. So when I think about it in that way, it's like, I have two elderly people living with me, my mother and my mother-in-law,
right?
And so it's my job to protect them as much as I can. You know, they wear their mask and all of that. But when we're out and we see people who are not thinking about them because it's not their mother, it's not their mother-in-law, it's not their grandma, it's not their sister, their husband, their brother, their whatever. And so it is frustrating. It is overwhelming that, you know, it's like, wow, can we not show that kind of concern and care for one another versus, you know, trying to stand in our rightness of, you know, I don't have to, nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? And making it so political when it's not about that. These are about lives, right? It's really about lives. Okay. And so I, you know, when I think about the challenges that most people have experienced when you ask that, yeah, I think a lot of people are experiencing missing being able to be with loved ones. One of the things that I'm grateful for that came out of this for me, although it's still been a challenge as well, is that all of my kids came back. You know, all of my adult children, they came back. And for various reasons, the university closed down. My, you know, middle daughter lost her job, right? And so she was working in a restaurant field. Mm-hmm. And so she came back. My oldest daughter, she came back. And there were so many other things coming. And then, of course, you know, we had moved my mom down before that time. So, you know, we had a house full of folks when we had just turned empty nesters, right? And so now, you know, but it's a gratitude that we're all together and we're all safe, right? And we're supporting each other and we're loving on each other. and we're doing what we can, right, to make life good. But being able to still make memories in the midst of that has been a great thing. However, the challenge is that everybody is here too. So it's kind of twofold. It's a blessing, but yet it was an adjustment. That's what I meant. It was just an adjustment to all the different needs and all the different things that are happening in one household, you know, to try to manage, you know, dealing with a son who misses being able to play lacrosse, you know, being able to be at school and in the dorms with his friends, or, you know, my daughter had her own apartment and enjoying that and being with her friends and now can't do it. And my other daughter on her pursuit to, you know, acting out in LA and had to come back and just so many things. But, you know, I'm grateful for that. Even in the midst of challenges, we're able to still grow and learn more about ourselves and each other. And so that's been a blessing for us. So tell me about, you know, one of the other things you talked about is, what if any COVID safety guidelines do you need to get better at? Talked about that, because, you know, today people are seeing them changing and moving and all of that. But, you know, from what we see from CDC, but also about what we can do to abide by them.
So for me, I knew that my relatives at home, one of their bigger challenges were that they gathered so much, because that's where family is. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure for a lot of them, you know, just being able to say, and so by the time I ever felt comfortable going home to see my mom and my stepfather and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my sister and her family, like, I was a little different than they were. I don't live near family, so they were much more comfortable with, you know, because it's a lifestyle thing. But so we don't live close, so we were pretty good. Like, we didn't have people that we were so close to that we felt like we were missing anything about having people over. So what they noticed about me was, when I finally felt comfortable double masking again and going home and being in people's homes, I want a window lifted. You know, I want ventilation. I want the 6 feet distance. I'm not going to eat there, because then at that point I'm taking down my mask. Yeah. I don't want, you know, so for me, I admittedly will say that is easier when you live away from family. That if you live close to them, you probably be in their homes every day. Mm-hmm. We don't have immediate family here. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things we did do, we kind of felt like we were in a bubble with a set of neighbors. And so we've helped each other, we've assisted each other, and we've been in the backyard on the fire pit, and then y'all on one side and we're on the other, and we're on the deck and y'all on one side and we're on the other. But we're still doing it. And it was a beautiful thing to be able to identify somebody that was doing the same things you were doing and to be in a bubble. But I am such a family person that it would have been more challenging for me if I lived closer to family.
Absolutely. When I think about it, it would have been more challenging knowing that our parents were away, because that's like the you know, they're the matriarchs of the family, and them being up in age and needing support and help.
That's
You know, that would have been really challenging. Or if they were in nursing home, you know, and you know, having seen all the things that happened to those who couldn't be with their loved ones in nursing homes and hospitals and those kind of things. So it is important when I think about some of the safety guidelines, you know, when I go out and some of the things that we continue to remember. You know, with the masking up, the sanitizer, getting back in the car and putting it on and all of those things. And just being really mindful of all of that. I remember I was experiencing, you know, some pain in my body, and I was like, I really need a massage. And as much as I was, you know, leery about going to get it, you know, I made sure that I talked to them about, okay, so I need ventilation. How is this going to work? I need the door, you know, cracked. I need, you know, the fan. I need for her to keep on her mask. I'm going to keep my mask on at all times. All of those kind of things was really critical. Because, you know, we still have doctor's appointments. We still have things we have to go to, right? But it's just making sure that we're doing our part to support our neighbor, right? And who is our neighbor? That's anybody that's a human, right? That we want to see them stay well as keeping ourselves well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, number four, you asked another question here. And you asked, what have you missed most during the pandemic? I think we kind of talked a little bit about that, you know, just family and friends. But what else do you think people are really missing?
I miss travel. I miss two trips. I missed a trip to Jamaica with my line sisters. I missed a family trip to Martha's Vineyard. Like, I miss, those things were actually scheduled. Tickets were purchased. You know, I missed having a celebration for my mother's birthday. You know, so people are missing the kind of things that we took for granted so much. I love live music. I want to go somewhere and hear some live music.
Yeah.
You know, go to a concert.
Yes.
Ironically, the week before we all locked down, we had gone to the Omega Mardi Gras with my best friend and her husband in North Carolina. And that was the last thing we did. And we partied. Wow. Let's be clear. We had a great time. And that next Friday, we were locked down. It was all over. So we went out of style. We're out, you know, and I'm not even ashamed to tell people that some of the things I was just adamant about, and everybody's different and everybody can do their own thing. I have not sat down and ate in a restaurant since last March.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be anywhere and take out my mask. And I'm fine with other people doing it. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it comes across like people feel a certain kind of way, but hey, everybody do you.
Yeah.
Do you, because you have to, you know, be responsible for whatever it is that you do. And I knew that that was just something that I was just going to do without until we were out of, you know, and I don't know when this year I'll feel comfortable doing something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know, I hear you.
I don't judge others. I wish everybody the best, whatever they feel comfortable with doing.
Lorraine, give me 1 minute because my computer is about to die out here, and I'm like, what in the world is happening? We cannot miss this moment and this conversation. And so realizing that we want to stay connected here. So, you know, I so when I think about this question, what do you miss most? You know, you talked about how you know, when it did shut down all the way, you did kind of come out of it with a bang. You know, for us, it was like we went to Paris. And so we definitely did it out of bang. But yeah, but like the travel, and we're a big restaurant eating family. You know, we like to go out and celebrate and eat at beautiful restaurants and try different foods, and that's gone, you know, or going to the movies, right?
Yeah. Family was my number one, but it's just those extra things.
Yeah.
Because here's the funny part about it, I did a lot of that stuff with family. You know, you travel with your family, you know, it's just the things that you do, but yeah, it's been hard.
It's been hard. And I know that we've all made a lot of adjustments and sacrifices to, you know, still do life and make it work for us. Right. And we've had a lot of work around with that. And but it still doesn't take away the longings that we have. Right. It's funny because you can be looking at television commercials and see all these commercials where everybody is doing, you know, life and enjoying, and whether at parties or whatever. And it's like, wow, will we ever get back to that? You know, you kind of long for it. But I think that it really has made us appreciate and value. I know for us, you know, things that we have always taken for granted, right? And being able to recognize that these things are gifts. when we're able to be out and breathe healthy air and be around our loved ones and our friends and all of that. So, you know, I guess my thing is hoping that we will come out of this more loving, more kind, although we don't necessarily see that from what we're seeing, and, you know, especially right now in our country. But, you know, I'm praying that it will somehow, you know, there will be something that will turn in our hearts towards valuing each other and valuing life in a way that we've never experienced it before. Right. I know that it's been said that, you know, the pandemic that happened over 100 years ago, it took 2 years before it actually left. And so we still got a little ways to go here.
We got a little ways to go. And I find it remarkable. Sometimes I'm watching something or somebody's just talking and they say back in the pandemic, and I'm like, am I in an alternate universe? I'm still in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes what they're meaning to say is back when we were quarantining. That's the only thing I can assume. But people are trying to put this in the rearview window. And that's all fine and well as long as you stay with the guidelines. Because at the end of the day, you have to be in the mental state to be safe that we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. You do. You do. Although we see a lot of people, you know, especially now that, you know, the everybody's getting vaccinated and vaccinated rather. And, you know, I've been vaccinated and, got my next one to go in another week. You know, many members of my family have got my mom and all of them vaccinated, and that's so important. But even, you know, after that, we still need to wear the mask, right?
Yeah.
We still need to do our part. And I think that, you know, we kind of look at, you know, what's happened. A lot of people are, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the vaccines that are out. And one of the things that I know that concerns me is, you know, us as African Americans, you know, we're the ones that's dying the most. And yet there's been just real concerns. And I understand that and I get that. But I think that in the midst of whether or not you take the vaccination, that's up to everyone, you know, what they want to do. But along with that being a part of the concern, this pandemic has really, really impacted Black people in America, right? So you have a statement here. You said the pandemic revealed to me that being Black in America is what, you know, because that was for us to kind of fill in the blank. And so tell me why you asked that question.
Because in the midst of the pandemic, we're in the midst of protests. We're seeing the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, you know, and we're seeing, I'll just say, an administration, a president that, you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
I would have never dreamed some of this stuff. You're hearing a president calling a potential vice president a monster. You're hearing Proud Boy, stand up, stand by. You know, you're just hearing all of these things that, and unfortunately, it has exposed a lot. It's exposed a lot about people's thoughts. And, you know, you've got people protesting and storming the Capitol with Confederate flags. So you do have to consider it has been revealing. It's been revealing. And then for me, it revealed there's a long way to go. Yeah. There's a long way to go. I'm 50 years old. I wanted something better for my children, not necessarily for me. Let me be clear. But at least for my children. And now I think what's happened in the past 4 years, we're stepping back, sadly, as opposed to moving forward. And, you know, I think we all have different perspectives of what this is and what's going on. But for me, it's deeply saddening. So, you know, being, you know, so I wanted people to address what it was for them, because you're sitting and you're watching the images and you're, you know, you're seeing peaceful protesters, you know, get all this pushback. You're seeing college students right here in Atlanta getting pulled out of their cars.
Yeah.
Yet you see a group storm the Capitol. And I'm not satisfied with the number of arrests yet. I'm not satisfied with where we are with that yet.
So, absolutely. I mean,
you gotta consider it.
And I think that, you know, the dialogue that continues is, you know, that if it was us, even our now president said, if it was African Americans who've done that, it would be a totally different story. So when we see those kinds of things happening and it's been emboldened, you know, by leaders and, you know, that ran the country and others that still support in those ways. And yet, you know, the reality is being said, we don't see what we see. We don't hear what we hear. Right. And it's like that, you know, and so it's really, you're talking about disheartening and that can really weigh heavy on us after all that we've gone through, you know, in 2020, you know, like what you said with, you know, the death of George Floyd and just so many more, you know, within just that year alone. And so it's taking a toll, right? On so many of us. There was something that I read, that I wanted to just kind of bring up because I thought it was pretty powerful. And I know that you have heard this before about the pandemic wall, right? And they talk about, you know, just the toll of not just, you know, the pandemic, but everything in combination of what 2020 has brought, you know, just the trauma, you know, that some people feel like, I don't know why I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm so overwhelmed right now. And they feel like it's burnout, but it's really trauma in many cases where it's like, you don't, you know, the residue of last year hasn't worn off on anyone yet. Right. And so people are trying to push through it without dealing with it. And so, you know, I know that in my profession, as well as yours, you can hear it. You can hear the weariness. You can hear the tiredness. You can see that people are in a fog and they don't have the clarity to do what they normally do. The creativity is not there. The productivity is not there. They feel like they have very little energy to just make it through. And so how do you talk to those people who are saying that, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, still processing everything that happened and the continual racial uprising is happening in our country, but also, you know, those that are just feeling like, you know, I feel invisible. I'm not being heard, not being seen. And yet this is impacting my home or my children, or the fear is increasing and the anxiety and all of those things. What do you say to people when they come to you about that?
I just say to people that you've got to find a space of hope. If there's nothing to hope for, you're kind of lost. You have to find a place of hope. And I don't give power to leaders or anything of that, but I've got to be transparent. I thank God for what he's saying that he stands for and that he represents, and I believe him. And when you see him having a candlelight vigil for people who have passed away because of COVID, we're in a different space. So I think he has created a space of hope, even if it's just for people that are excited because this, you know, if they're eligible and they get the stimulus or whatever it is, he's trying to get shots in arms. So I say this, you've got to find a space that gives you hope. Without just going in deep into other things, what gives you hope? What are you grateful for? And what And then it goes down into another one of these questions. I think you have to come up with, and it was the last one. I just need to shift to that because it was come up with five things that you plan to enjoy after this pandemic. Because again, that makes you hopeful.
Yes.
This too shall pass.
It will.
Even though we've been in it long and it feels like it won't pass, this too shall pass. So when I want to feel hopeful, I start thinking about, oh, maybe next year this time I'm going to be at the beach. Maybe next year I'm going to go to my college homecoming. Maybe next year, you know, my best friend and I, we take trips together. My family, we take trips. Maybe we are going to be at our Martha's Vineyard in Boston trip next year. So I have to find ways to be hopeful. And then that's what I recommend to people, because there's no promises out there, but you have to put yourself in a space of hope, in a place of promise, and a place of faith.
Absolutely.
In a place of faith.
You know, I was talking to someone and they mentioned, they said, I feel so discouraged and depressed, and I feel like I'm losing hope. And I said, don't lose hope, because hope is the thing that keeps your faith intact, right? It's the thing that allows you to believe that a better day is coming, right? So it's important for us to hold on to hope and to faith. You know, Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. We got to keep it alive, right? And I think for me, one of the things that I constantly share with people is, you know, we have to think about what we do have versus what we don't have. You know, we can talk about all the things that we don't have. We don't have the opportunity to go and travel. We don't have the opportunity to go out to dinner or go to the beach or go, you know, do all these different things. But what do you have? Right. And that's where that gratefulness comes in. You know, what do you have, you know, that you can hold on to and celebrate, you know, and feel like you're winning in this area. Right. If your marriage is still together.
Right.
Celebrate that you're winning, right?
Yeah.
You're able to enjoy the fruit of that, right? If your children are doing well, if you still have a job, if you still have your health, if you still are able to talk to a friend, even though it's over Zoom, you know, you're still able to see them, right? You're still able to catch up. You're still able, you know, to connect, to deepen your relationship with God, that you're able to spend more time, you know, with your children. All of those things really matter, right? And it's interesting that when we look at how all of this is unfolded and nobody knows, you know, why this happened or all of that. But here's the thing. Knowing that it happened is a moment to say, okay, how can I learn and grow from this whole time that I'm in this, right? You know, I used to hear people say it. Maybe you said it yourself. You know, I've said, oh, I just need more time just to relax, just to slow down, just to, right?
Yeah.
Right?
You
now you got it, right? You had it for a whole year. And it's like, you know, but this is a moment, right? So out of these moments, you know, what are you able to take from this, right? How has the pandemic made you better, right? What do you look like? What are you going to look like coming out of this, you know? And I think that's a critical question for us to ask ourselves, because that part is in our control. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And on the ground level, just the fact that we're still here.
Yes.
You're still here. If you can't be grateful for anything else, you're still here. If you're hearing this, you're still here. God has kept you.
He's kept us. I tell you. Well, you know what? This has just been so good, because we do need to unmask. You know, one thing that I tell my clients that I work with, and I work with lots of leaders, you know, from various companies, men and women alike. And one thing that I say when they come to the sessions, right, as a life and leadership coach, I said, you know what, this is your moment, you know, to come as yourself and not bring your representative, right?
Yeah.
Because when we bring our representative, that's when we come all masked up, right? Because this is the moment where we don't want people to really see who we really are, right? And what we're really struggling with and what we're really battling with or being challenged with, right? But I believe that out of transparency, you know, comes that ability for you to be insulated and to allow resilience to come through, because you're willing to know, you know what? I may not know all the answers or how to handle all of it, but because I'm able to share with someone else and know that I'm not alone in this, that I know that we can do this thing together and we're going to be all right. Can you hear me, Lorraine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, I'm so grateful that you took the moment, you know, to talk about unmasking the pandemic. And you know what? I just believe that talking about this, you know, you say you always do the new year, new you, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is another year, even in the midst of the pandemic, where we are still becoming, as Michelle Obama said,
yes,
still
yes,
a better yes. us, a new you.
Our hero.
Yes, yes. So we're still becoming that new you, you know,
yes.
and that greater you. And so, Lorraine, I want to thank you so much for just sharing with us. I think this was so powerful for us to be able to talk a little bit about that. And I know one of the things that you said, Janisha, you need to talk about the pandemic marriage, you know, how people have
really
survived through that, because it did take a lot of marriages took a hit. And mm-hmm. in so many ways, whether it was someone losing a job or someone getting ill or, you know, there's just been, you know, struggles. Right. And so, but, you know, I think that'll be another show where we can talk about that. But I'm so grateful for this moment to give people hope, encouragement, tools and tips on how to unmask, talk about it. Right. So that we can all be able to share the load and to share, you know, our concern and love one for another, so we can come through all right on the other side. Thank you.
Exactly. And thank you, my friend.
Thank you,
my friend. Peace and blessings.
Same to you, girl. Talk to you soon. You take care, okay? Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.